Welcome, one and all, to Maltin on Movies with Baron Vaughn. I am Leonard Maltin.
And extra special welcome to all, but not one, from Baron Vaughn. I'm Baron Vaughn.
Who are you leaving out?
Just one.
Aw.
You know who you are. Listener. Listener number 445.
Oh, gosh. Wow. Yeah. Gee, that's harsh.
They earned it.
Everybody else is welcome, though.
Yes, definitely.
And especially today, because we're going to talk about a subject we have covered before, but it felt to us like it needed revisiting.
Yes.
We're going to talk about more funny ladies.
Now, this is a subject that, you know, just because it's always – there's always a controversy about, are women funny? Yes, they're funny.
Yes.
There's a lot of movies, so we want to specifically highlight some more women.
Now, first a bit of old business.
Okay. What's the old business?
Well, when we discussed Lily Tomlin
last
time and the movie The Late Show,
yeah,
I referred to, in passing – on her credentials, the Beverly Hillbillies movie from 1993.
Oh.
Said she played Granny.
And that was Cloris Leachman.
It was Cloris Leachman who played Granny. She played
Miss
Hathaway.
I didn't catch that.
Yes. Well, one of our listeners did, more than one, I'm sure it did. And I apologize for the goof. There it is, the apology. I'm human. I make mistakes.
You were just you're a goof troop.
There I am. While we're mentioning Lily Tomlin, who stars in Grace and Frankie with Jane Fonda, and you, Baron.
And me. She got an Emmy nomination.
She is in a really good new movie called Grandma. A small movie. A modest movie. Written and directed by Paul Weitz. But it's a great showcase for Lily. And if you haven't seen it, it's worth seeing.
I have not seen it. And I cannot wait to see it.
I'm sorry that it's being hyped so much. Because it really is a very small film. Don't expect fireworks. Don't expect, you know, anything great here. But it's good.
Okay.
And it's certainly a good showcase for her.
All righty.
Moving on, we're going to talk about three new candidates under the umbrella of funny ladies. I want to start with one of my favorites, Catherine O'Hara.
Yes, indeed.
Catherine O'Hara.
Comedy career.
I remember seeing her for the first time on SCTV. That's decades ago now, but she was part of that first class with Eugene Levy and Joe Flaherty, and so many – John Candy.
Rick Moranis.
Later Martin Short.
Dave Thomas.
What a funny show. What a wonderfully talented group of people.
If you don't know SCTV, it is one of the greatest sketch comedy programs of all time.
Yep.
They were lampooning the very idea that you were watching TV. And it is a contemporary of Saturday Night Live. And some people think it's better, some people think it's worse, but it definitely yielded so many comedians that still work to this day. So what does that tell you?
And she's one of those people who somehow is, I don't know, she's never bad. She's always good. She's done all kinds of movies. You know, she's the mom in Home Alone, which is essentially a straight part. And she is the voice of Sally in The Nightmare Before Christmas, the singing and speaking voice of Sally. She has so many credits.
But I think that the films that people think of the most when they think of Catherine O'Hara are the films that she's done with Christopher Guest.
Yes, I agree.
The stream of mockumentaries that they have done, we see her comedy chops every single time in new, different ways in each of those movies.
And we're talking about Waiting for Guffman, A Mighty Wind, Best in Show, and the one we're going to feature today – for your consideration.
A little different than those other three movies.
Yes.
People are on the fence about this movie.
Yeah. Yes, came out in 2006, and it is the most recent of that troupe's endeavors. We keep hoping there'll be another. You don't know. In 2012, by the way, they appeared on the Academy Awards show. I was reminded of this online because the segment exists online.
Mm.
A very funny segment. It was the year that Billy Crystal hosted.
Oh, yes.
And they said that they had found rare footage of a focus group responding in 1939 to The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, okay.
And Bob Balaban runs the focus group. And who is sitting there giving their opinions of this brand new movie, The Wizard of Oz, but Christopher Guest, Fred Willard, Catherine O'Hara, Eugene Levy. And they're all so funny. Find it online. It's worth looking at. So, so good. Oh, and Jennifer Coolidge, all members of the troupe.
The troupe of people that continue to make these movies. Now, All those other movies that we talked about, like I said, are mockumentaries.
Yes.
For Your Consideration, however, has a narrative structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear that they improvised
mm-hmm.
a lot and improvise in the way that they would in these mockumentaries, but they fit it together in a very different way.
Mm-hmm.
And Catherine O'Hara is right at the center of it. She's the first person we see.
She is, and she's the last person. She bookends the movie, truly. The movie opens cold with dialogue that film buffs will recognize as being the voice of Betty Davis from the great movie Jezebel from 1938, where she plays a Scarlett O'Hara-like Southern belle. And Catherine O'Hara is mouthing the dialogue with her while watching it on television. And I won't tell you how it ends, but that's how the movie opens. And she is making a movie right now for a rather screw-loose director played very amusingly by Christopher Guest with the great hairdo.
He's got a lot of great hairdos. His characters start with the hair and then end at the shoes.
This film, as you say, is different from the others.
Mm-hmm.
It has a broader tone, I think, in general. It's – some people said – I think I was one of them – that Hollywood was almost too easy a target for the kind of satire, kind of spoofery that they do.
And this is a dark movie, by the way.
Yeah.
It's very, very dark.
But it's just fun to watch all these people.
Because they're still funny.
Yes.
Even if the movie, in my personal opinion, doesn't fit together perfectly, the performers bring the heat as they always do.
She's co-starring in a new movie with Harry Shearer
mm-hmm.
and Parker Posey and others. And a rumor – it's a rumor of a rumor.
A rumor of a rumor of a rumor.
Begins that somehow or other, word has gotten out that this movie is so good and she's so good in it that she might be up for an Academy Award. And that's how the story takes off. Both ravels and unravels.
Mm-hmm.
It's both of those things. And so the film is really about – it's not just about Hollywood. It's about ego. It's about self-delusion. It's about – what else? It's about
– yeah. I mean, it's about all those things that you said.
Yeah.
But definitely delusion and is at the center of it, and just kind of how people can get wrapped up, get their personalities
mm-hmm.
wrapped up in something that's small, turn it into something that's big, and drive themselves crazy.
Yes.
Narcissism,
yeah.
You could say.
Yeah.
Self-consciousness as well.
And everybody, every character who appears in this movie, and there's a long list because the cast list goes on and on and on. So many funny people. Including those who are not part of the usual Christopher Guest
troupe. Oh, yeah. A lot of great cameos in
Ricky
this movie.
Ricky Gervais turns up.
Yes.
And Richard Kind, Sandra Oh, people you don't necessarily expect to see.
Yeah. Sarah Shahi, who I used to be on the show with. Mm-hmm. Jessica St. Clair, a lot of really funny people. Yeah.
As well as Ed Begley Jr. and John Michael Higgins and Jane Lynch.
Michael McKean.
Bob Balaban. Willard,
yeah.
Jim Pittock, Larry Miller, Paul Dooley.
And these are a lot of the people that are in the troupe that have made these movies yes. with Christopher Guest over and over again.
Yes. Well, they're all good. They're all funny. Even the little bits by Nina Conti, who later turned up in Family Tree, the HBO series that
yes,
Christopher Guest
yes.
did.
That's she's a British ventriloquist,
yes.
but actually is really interesting. Look her up yourself. But yeah. she has a little bit part in this movie.
Yep. But Catherine O'Hara's character – sort of propels the storyline. And there is a twist that involves her that I'm not going to give away.
But it is a hell of a nail to put into Hollywood.
Oh, man. And what happens to her character? It's bittersweet. It's actually bittersweet. It's not something you – I mean, you laugh at it
because
it's funny, but it's also kind of pathetic.
Yeah, yeah. Bittersweet, I'm not sure if that's the word for me because I was just left feeling horrible sad and alone. But again, we're talking about Catherine O'Hara's performance in this movie.
Yeah.
She pulls it off.
She does.
With such depth,
mm-hmm.
but still this funniness. I mean, she's never winking at us. She's playing it for truth.
Yeah.
But she's so funny in it.
Yeah.
That again, this is a movie that is mostly about the performances that you get in it, which are across the board pretty solid. And these people are in they're in their wheelhouse. But Catherine, I think, stands out.
Yeah, and I love her speaking Yiddish. That's a trick he's used before with Ed Begley Jr.'s character in
Best in Show.
In
A Mighty Wind, right? Where yes.
But it just makes me laugh every time.
The movie that they're making is called Home for Purim. That's the movie that they're making in the movie, which is about takes place during World War II in the South. A group of Southern Jews who they're acting it as if it's a Southern drama, but everything that they're saying is in the world of what it would mean to be Jewish in America. It's pretty funny. It's very silly, very, very silly.
Yes. There is, we must add, I think professionally speaking, I'm obliged to add that there is a movie review show in this film called Love It, Hate It.
Right on the nose.
Yeah,
right on the nose.
And there's a spoof of E.T. that's pretty funny too. Now, just to review, Catherine O'Hara in Waiting for Guffman. In Waiting for Guffman, she and Fred Willard play the Lunts of Blaine, Missouri.
Yes.
Married couple of travel agents who are the stars of the local community theater. That's what she did in that one. In Best in Show, she and Eugene Levy are the proud owners of a Norwich Terrier named Winky. And in A Mighty Wind, she is half of the team of Mitch and Mickey with Eugene Levy.
And their story in A Mighty Wind, whew.
Yeah.
It's a doozy. And again, good acting and still very funny.
Yeah. So for your consideration, I agree, is it not the best of the Christopher Guest films?
Still worth a watch, though.
But still worth seeing. And as I would say of any Catherine O'Hara performance, worth seeing. I'm embarrassed to admit I've not yet seen the TV series that she and Eugene Levy are doing right now called Schitt's Creek. Called spelled S-C-H-I-T-T apostrophe S. I'm being very clear here. S-C-H-I-T-T apostrophe S Creek.
Yeah, you mentioned it in a different podcast, so I know what's on your mind. You got to get to that.
Yeah, I got to get to that because she's so good.
Yeah.
She's just so good.
She's just somebody who she can do very big in such a real way.
Yes, again, we keep using that word honesty.
Yeah, she's very, very honest.
And I think that's at the heart of great comedy always. I mean, why can we still laugh at and recognize Charlie Chaplin 100 years after his earliest movies? 100 years. And that character still plays. Why? Because it's based on observations of human nature. It's based on honesty. It's truth. And I think that's the comedy that lasts.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in that category.
Definitely. Definitely.
So we'll move on from that praise of Catherine O'Hara.
Catherine O'Hara.
To another very talented woman.
Yes, but a very bad movie.
But a very bad movie. It's turkey time.
Yeah, turkey time. Gobble, gobble.
In just a moment. Hi, this is Leonard Maltin. And if you can't get enough of me between podcasts, which I can't imagine to be the case, you can always go to leonardmaltin.com where I have a website called Leonard Maltin's Movie Crazy, because that's what I am. We've got a backlog of many years' worth of entries. It's not just current movie reviews. I cover DVDs, film books, which you might not know about otherwise, and journals of my adventures in the movie world, especially going to film festivals and other such gatherings. I have fun writing it. I hope you would have fun reading it. So give it a try at leonardmaltin.com.
Welcome back to Maltin on Movies. That's a theme song I just made up.
Oh, okay.
You like
register
it?
That.
Yeah?
You don't want someone stealing that.
Well, I did do it on a podcast, technically, whose intellectual property is
know.
It?
I don't know.
All right, we're back. So we're talking about funny women.
Yes.
Lots of great funny women out there. And this person, Melissa McCarthy, personally, I think she's the real deal.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's the genuine real deal.
She is really funny.
Really funny, but also a great actress. And I think we're going to see a lot of that stuff. You know, we're introduced to her, obviously, as a comedian. She broke into the scene in Bridesmaids, which a lot of people hadn't seen or heard of her. And ever since then, it's just been a steady climb, I think, well-deserved and justified.
She's in one of the funniest movies of this year, Spy.
Yes.
Very funny movie.
Back together with Paul Feig.
Yep.
Who she also made The Heat with.
Yep.
And that's where she's, in my personal opinion, the movies she's made with Paul Feig so far have been her funniest, best movies. This movie, however.
Well, let's do a little background before we build up to this.
Go ahead.
Melissa McCarthy comes out of sketch comedy and improv, mm-hmm. the world of improv. She was at the Groundlings.
World-famous.
Yes.
Groundlings.
Here in Los Angeles. Her cousin, Jenny McCarthy.
Oh, that's right. That's her cousin. I always forget
yep,
that.
Gave her a shot on her sitcom back in 1997. And that was back in 1997, Sam. Back in 1997. And that gave her a foot in the door mm-hmm. of the business. Then she got a recurring role on Gilmore Girls in the year 2000, playing Sookie, and wrote that for a long time. Mm. Very popular show.
I never watched that.
And then was on a show I never watched called Samantha Who with Christina Applegate for
oh,
two
yes.
seasons.
Yes.
And then got Mike and Molly, a show in which she co-stars and has been doing that since 2010.
Yeah, with Billy Gardell.
Right, but it was 2011 that Bridesmaids came out. And to an audience that doesn't watch television, mm-hmm. may not be familiar with her, all that work on TV.
Yeah, Mike and Molly is a sitcoms on CBS. It's, mm-hmm. it's you know, in a very particular, a lot of people aren't watching sitcoms like that, mm-hmm. at least from my generation. But mm-hmm. then we all went to see Bridesmaids.
Yes.
And who should stand out so strongly in that movie?
Right.
Melissa McCarthy.
With an outrageous performance. Just a flat out go for broke 100%, 110% comedy performance.
Yes.
And was the talk of the town, the talk of the country, the talk of everybody.
I remember flipping around and maybe seeing an HBO first look at Bridesmaids. And I flipped it on right as Judd Apatow was talking about Melissa McCarthy's mm-hmm. improvising. And he's like, she is the best improviser I've ever seen in my life. He just says she's hands down the funniest, best improviser I've
well,
ever seen.
Well, if you see... Is it This Is 40 where he uses that outtake at the end?
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of Judd Apatow's movie, This Is 40, there's a scene with Melissa McCarthy and Leslie Mann as fellow parents having a teacher conference.
A confrontation at
yes.
that.
In the principal's office or the teacher's office?
Yeah, principal's which. Office.
And over the closing credits, they run the outtake version. All improv. And it is just so funny.
Hilarious.
She can go and go and go and go.
And it has to do with the fact that she commits to the character's reality.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that she ever says that's so off kilter. It still comes from a real place in that yeah. person. That's yeah. why it always works.
Yep. Yeah. And then she made this movie called Tammy.
Okay.
In 2014.
Okay. She's good in it, though.
Well, it's not – no, I don't blame her.
It's a bad movie.
But she plays this really crass working class woman, antisocial.
And mean.
Who for strange reasons decides that she has to get away. And the way to get away is to take her grandmother along, played by Susan Sarandon, because her grandmother has a car.
And money.
So they go on a road trip. And we are forced to go along on this road trip.
Mm-hmm.
Unlucky us.
Yeah, she walks in on Nat Faxon, who, great, another person who came out of the Groundlings, a very funny person who plays her husband. He's having an affair with their neighbor, played by Toni Collette, in the most underutilized place I have ever seen her. And then she's like, I'm out of this crap town. She's on the road with her grandmother. So are we. Yikes.
She made another movie I disliked in 2013 called Identity Thief.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
With Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
And there's a...
I didn't dislike it maybe as much as you did.
Well, there's a scene in that film where she, again, is playing crass. She's playing somebody who's really... Again, when she goes for it, she goes for it.
She does.
So if she's playing crass, she's playing crass. But there's a scene where suddenly there's a transformation. She has her hair redone. She puts on softer, more attractive clothing. And it seems to soften her. It's like, oh, maybe she isn't as loathsome as I thought she was. And there's a scene just like it in Tammy.
Exactly like it.
Yeah, which a film that she wrote with her husband, Ben Falcone, who also directed. So it's like, we're going to have to sit through that kind of scene again in another Melissa McCarthy vehicle? I hope not.
And then because, we do.
Yeah, and then we do. You know...
I say chalk it up to experience. I mean, one for experience, because I feel like I like her a lot. I'm interested to see what else she will do, especially as a writer.
Yes.
But this movie is just, ugh.
I was so pleased. Look, I liked her in The Heat, too.
Oh, she's great.
Very funny in The Heat with Sandra Bullock.
And again, another great performance, another believable performance.
And then she's really good in St. Vincent, that little sleeper with Bill Murray.
Oh, everyone I know hated it. Did you like it?
I did. I did. Talk to those people. Tell them they're wrong.
Okay. All right.
In my humble opinion.
All right.
Oh, I like that film very much. And she plays a straight character. Mm. It's not a comedic role. And she's really good. That's not a shock.
Oh, well, now I need to see it.
She's the mother of a boy who she's a working woman who's got to be the breadwinner for her household and can't be there for her son when she comes home from work every day. So the son starts hanging out with this misanthropic next-door neighbor played by Bill Murray.
Mm.
And they're all good in the film, but it gives her – you see a different facet of her, a different side, a different color than she usually gets to play. And I was pleased and impressed. It reminds us that we've seen only a fraction of what she can do.
Oh, yeah.
She's just a great talent.
Well, that's what I mean when I say that she's the real deal, because again, in this movie, and there's some really great actors, the casting of this movie is actually fantastic.
So one wonderful supporting cast in Tammy.
Allison Janney, you have
Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates, Susan Sarandon plays her grandmother.
Gary Cole.
Just a really
Sandra Oh.
Mark Duplass.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Mark Duplass plays her purported boyfriend at one point.
And there's a lot of great supporting actors in this movie. It doesn't come together. But there are some moments with her and Susan Sarandon that are truly genuine that make me go, I wish that this was a different movie. Yeah,
but not enough.
Not enough.
Not enough.
Not enough.
This is another one of those bad movies. I think unredeemably bad. Irredeemably bad. Whatever word I mean to say.
And
it's
just
bad.
In terms of writing. As well.
In terms of sitting as an audience member.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just mean that they take twists and they take it to places that I'm like, that's all of it's extraneous in the end. It doesn't add up to anything. It's just kind of a slog.
Yeah.
But I still think she's amazing. And like, that's why I say it. She almost makes it work just on her performance, but it's not a good character for her.
You want to see a good movie? Go watch St. Vincent.
Okay. I'll try it out. Can't be any worse than Tammy.
Give it a try. No, it can't. No, it cannot. Emphatically.
Okay.
Should we talk about a better movie now?
Let's talk about a better movie.
Let's take a break, and when we come back from that break, we'll talk about a better movie.
Better movie.
Friends, I'm excited to introduce you to Howl FM, the best, most convenient way to listen to all the episodes of Malton on Movies. It's on the web at Howl FM and on the go with the Howl app. You can stream and download all Malton on Movies episodes that have been released in the past 6 months. Go beyond the audio with behind-the-scenes photos, commentaries, and more. You can even go further by upgrading to Howl Premium for only $4.99 a month. Get exclusive access to the entire Malton on Movies archive and to all the Earwolf and Wolf Pop archives. This includes all episodes older than 6 months. They've all been remastered and have no advertising. Only with Howl Premium, listen to hundreds of hours of Marc Maron's WTF archives. You can hear classic interviews with Robin Williams, Louis C.K., many, many more. And Howl has also partnered with some of your favorite hosts and comedians to develop Howl Originals. Those are brand new shows available only with Howl Premium. You can check out the great new series from Lauren Lapkus and the AV Club right now. There are already 10 brand new hilarious Howl Originals. We're adding new shows every week. Get access to all this exclusive content both on your phone and on your desktop with Howl Premium for only $4.99 a month. And with the promo code Malton, that's M-A-L-T-I-N, you get a full month of a free trial. Try it out. Go to Howl FM and enter code Malton at checkout. Remember, you can use Howl on your phone or your computer, but you can only use my promo code on Howl FM, the website. So go to Howl FM, that's H-O-W-L.fm, and use the promo code Malton, M-A-L-T-I-N, for one free month trial of Howl Premium. Give it a try. Welcome back, folks. We're talking about more funny ladies today. And our final funny lady for today is the late, great Madeline Kahn.
Oh, the late part makes me very upset.
It is sad.
I miss this woman like I knew her.
She was so talented. And she had such an amazing decade in the 70s. I mean, she just broke through the beginning of that decade, and people said, this woman, where'd she come from? We love her. She trained to be an opera singer.
I was
reading about her. She wound up being nominated for 3 Tony Awards in 1974 for The Boom Boom Room, in 1978 for On the 20th Century, then much later, in 1989 for Born Yesterday, a revival, and in 1993 she won the Tony Award for The Sisters Rosenzweig. So when movie work started to peter out and she didn't have the same opportunities there, she found them on stage on Broadway. Good for her.
Because she's brilliant. Brilliant actress.
She made her film debut in What's Up, Doc? So if you see What's Up, Doc? With Barbara Streisand and Ryan O'Neill, and you see Madeline Kahn in it, who's so funny, bear in mind, no one had seen her before. That was their first exposure to her. Well, she's in a famous funny short called Deduva in 1960.
Yeah, but it's not like you can just get that anywhere.
No. What's Up, Doc? Is where people saw her. And just 1 year later, they saw her in Paper Moon. That's the film we're going to discuss today. Paper Moon, which is a wonderful film, came along and got her an Oscar nomination. It's a supporting role. She's not the lead, but she grabs you and commands your attention.
Definitely stands out, yes.
So good. So funny. Then, of course, came Blazing Saddles.
Brilliant.
At Long Last Love. The Adventure of Sherlock Holmes' Smarter Brother with Gene Wilder. High Anxiety, again, with Mel Brooks. History of the World Part 1 with Mel Brooks as the Empress Nympho.
Yes.
All of that. But this is toward the beginning. Paper Moon.
Still establishing who she was.
Yes.
And audiences seeing what she could do.
I hadn't seen Paper Moon in a long time. I had a wonderful time reacquainting myself with this wonderful movie.
It's a great little movie.
Made in 1973. A little gem, directed by Peter Bogdanovich, who was hot at that time because he had just broken through with The Last Picture Show just a couple years earlier and followed it with What's Up, Doc? So he was about as hot as you could get. Mm. So hot, he not only got to make the movie, he got to make it in black and white, as he did The Last Picture Show. And he had a screenplay by Alvin Sargent, which earned him an Oscar nomination. This is another great, great talent. He won Oscars over the years for Julia, for Ordinary People. He's one of the key writers of Spider-Man 2, which, as you know, was one of my all-time favorite superhero movies. And I think a lot of that has to do with the experience that Alvin Sargent brought to that table as a writer, as a story structurist, as a dialogue writer,
of
that. And it's based on a novel by Joe David Brown. But I think that Sargent and Bogdanovich really shaped it into the movie that
took
it
some
is.
License.
And it won a supporting actress award for a young lady named Tatum O'Neill, who was 10 years old when she accepted that Oscar.
Incredibly young.
And the youngest ever. The youngest ever. But it's her fellow nominee, Madeline Kahn, that we're going to focus on right now. Paper Moon is the story of a con artist, played by Ryan O'Neill, then at the height of his stardom. And it's the Depression. It's the Midwest during the Depression. Bleak. Bleak. And so well photographed by Laszlo Kovacs. Flat land. Flat as far as the eye can see.
Far. You can see so far as well. And there's nothing is changing. It's just planes and more planes.
And this con man works a con with a little girl where he takes custody of her, not eagerly, not willingly, but he sees a chance to score some money, and then becomes a road trip. It evolves into a road movie where the little girl learns the con.
And might be better at it than the teacher.
And might be smarter than her teacher.
The student surpasses the teacher.
Exactly. And this sounds like it could be kind of tiresome or precocious.
But it is not.
But not in these hands.
No.
She's great.
And it's just, it's a real father and daughter.
Yes. Here. Yes, a real life father and daughter.
A real life father and daughter.
Tatum is indeed Ryan O'Neill's daughter.
So there's a chemistry there that can't be faked. You know?
And yet the chemistry is an adversarial one.
Yes.
That's what's so funny about it, is that she's always battling him. And he's getting frustrated with her. And it just works so well. The setups are great. The payoffs are great. Along the road,
yes,
on their road trip.
The one thing that this con man wants to do for himself,
yes,
is see this person, this woman.
They go to a carnival, an old-fashioned carnival with a sideshow and a hooch dancer, I think is what they called them in those days, which is just – today you'd call that person a stripper. But in those days it was
– Or an exotic dancer.
An exotic dancer. Mm-hmm. In those days it was a hooch dancer, somebody who wriggled her body, and showed a lot of skin. And what is her name? Trixie Delight. And our hero, Ryan O'Neill, becomes smitten with Miss Trixie Delight.
In a way, he becomes the mark instead of the con artist.
Yes.
For one person.
Because she is she's out for everything she can get from this guy and makes no bones about it. It's such a funny character. It's such a wonderfully funny character. And yet, though it is drawn in broad strokes, it's not really a caricature, is it?
No. And that's solely on the talent of Madeline Kahn, who made this person wholly believable, made this public-private self, conflict that this woman has work. That you see who she's presenting herself as, but you also see that she is not that person at the exact same time, but you also see how somebody would buy that she is that person. And there's this one particular thing. And
she's a gold digger.
Yeah,
she's a gold digger. Let's be plain about it. She's a gold digger.
I'm not saying she's a gold digger. But some of you know the rest of the line. But there's one scene, and I'm not going to totally give it away. I'm just going to say that Tatum O'Neill does not want to get in the car.
Yeah.
So Madeline's character, Trixie Delight, goes to talk to her and is walking up a hill. And something that made me need to stop the movie and walk around and laugh, she it's just very funny. She's very funny, yeah. And it's like a very funny moment. Because she's not really in the movie that much.
No.
But her presence is felt for the rest of the movie
she's
on screen.
She makes a big impression, big impact. Again, she was a new face, a fresh face to moviegoers when this film came out. A lot of people had seen What's Up, Doc, but this is just her second movie. Her second movie.
And she gets a nomination.
And she got an Oscar nomination. She got an Oscar nomination again the next year for playing Lily von Stupp in Blazing Saddles. Talk about a run of performances.
I didn't know she actually got a nomination for Blazing Saddles.
She sure did.
Oh, my goodness.
But Trixie Delight is a great character in a film filled with great characters and great faces. Oh, the casting in this film, of all the incidentals.
Woo! All the people they pull off these cons on.
Shopkeepers.
Oh, yeah.
The innocent people who answered the door when Ryan O'Neill knocks on the door to try to sell them a Bible that they didn't really buy, et cetera. Wonderful Midwestern faces. And then there's Trixie Delight. What a character. What a glorious character. You know, what's sort of sad is that after this great run of movies, Madeline Kahn wound up doing good work in theater,
mm-hmm,
and working a lot in television, but not, I think at her peak.
Mm.
They tried to fashion a sitcom for her called Oh, Madeline.
Oh.
In 1983.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, it didn't work out too well. And then she was in another one with George C. Scott, of all people, called Mr. President.
What?
In 1987.
A sitcom for television? With George C. Scott and, yep, Madeline Kahn? Wow.
It came and it went. And then a show I do not remember at all called New York News, starring Mary Tyler Moore in 1995.
Wow.
What?
No, not at all.
Really?
Never heard of that.
Made no impact on me. And then she had a 3-year run on The Cosby Show.
Yes, the second incarnation.
Yes.
The CBS version of it.
Yep. In the late 90s. Such a talented woman. And
first thing I ever saw her in was Clue.
Mm-hmm.
That was where I started paying attention,
mm-hmm,
to her. And I was like, oh, who's this woman? And then of course, I saw Blazing Saddles and I was like, oh, I'm on board.
Who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be on board? I'm just sorry I never saw her on stage. I think I saw the Sisters Rosenzweig, but I don't remember if I saw the original cast.
You wouldn't have.
And
you would have remembered.
I would remember that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I would remember that. It's a great play, too, by Wendy Wasserstein. But if you don't know Madeline Kahn, that's no sin. It's no crime.
I can't believe it.
But it is time you did know and do get to know Madeline Kahn. What a gifted, talented woman who could do anything, but who shined particularly or shone particularly well in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't yet mentioned Young Frankenstein.
No, we haven't.
One of the all-time great comedy films that will live forever. And she, of course, another glorious performance.
I'd say that she steals the movie, but there's so many great performances.
Everybody's great in that film.
Yeah, you can't steal that movie. No one steals it. It's just a great movie.
No weak links in Young Frankenstein.
Not in the bunch.
And when she sings Ah, Sweet Mystery of Life, she's showing off her classically trained singing voice. That's pretty funny, too. It gives her an opportunity that she might not have had otherwise. Oh, dear. So many great films. So many great performances.
Well, and these three women, let's highlight them again. Obviously, Madeline Kahn at the end there. Melissa McCarthy, we agree.
We love her.
Brilliant. Tammy, don't see it. And, of course, Catherine O'Hara. So for your consideration, I watched on Amazon, mm-hmm. but it is on HBO Now, The New Kid in Town. If you have HBO
Good to
Now.
Know.
As
Good
is
know.
Tammy, but avoid
well,
that one.
That's okay.
Avoid that one.
And as our listener pointed out, check your local library, too.
Exactly.
Borrow a DVD.
Do you remember where you watched Paper Moon?
I watched Paper Moon on Netflix.
Oh, right.
I think.
Okay.
Or maybe I didn't.
It's either on Netflix or Amazon.
Yeah. It's out there.
Search.
It's available.
Do a search.
Three funny ladies. You know what? We'll probably do more funny ladies at some point.
We will. And, I'm sorry if it offends you that we're lumping women into a group here. Obviously, it's affirmative action. Because we have to highlight funny women. So, but then also there will be women in things that aren't just specifically about women. Because women should be.
Why you apologize?
I'm trying to be sensitive, and I think I'm doing
Oh no, I think you're being overly defensive.
I am. I'm doing it.
We're
I'm
singling out
doing it wrong.
Three gifted, talented people. Females.
Yes. Yes.
That's all.
I'm just saying I'm sensitive to some people thinking that some other things. So it's. But I'm glad I said it out loud and as articulate as I said it. Whew.
Baron, if people can't wait another week to hear from you, to see you, to read you,
yes,
where can they find you?
Well, you know, you can look me up on the Twitter. It's BARVONBLAQ. And also, I have a tour that I'm doing called the Saturdays Tour. I'm going to be at the Accidental Comedy Festival in Cleveland, Ohio, September 12th, and at the Annex Theater in Seattle, Washington, on September 19th. Those are both Saturdays. Check baronvaughn.com for the details. Leonard, what about you?
What about me?
Yeah, what about you?
I don't know. Well, I'm on Twitter at Leonard Maltin, and I'm online at my website, leonardmaltin.com.
Easy to remember.
I hope it is. I hope you'll visit. I hope you'll read. Hope you'll come back. And we hope you'll tell your friends about this podcast.
Enemies as well.
Tell anybody you like or dislike. We're happy to be here with you. We will see you again next time. Take care, folks.
Hey, I'm Stephen Dubner.
I'm James Altucher.
We both make podcasts. I do one called Freakonomics Radio.
And I do one called The James Altucher Show.
Very cunning name there.
Yes, I admit my narcissism.
We've been podcasting a while, but we've never podcasted together. And that's what today represents is the beginning of our first joint project called...
Question of the Day.
Isn't that a good name? Question of the Day. It's going to sound kind of like this. What words do you think the English language needs? What words or expressions are missing?
What can you teach me now in the next 10 minutes that will be useful for the rest of my life?
What is the best way to start an engaging conversation with a stranger?
Has your memory suffered when you were in your late 40s?
Can't remember back to the late 40s.
Are we recording?
I don't know, but shouldn't waste good conversation.
Yeah, no,
conversation.
We're
each episode is going to be about 10 minutes long,
but 10 of the most action-packed minutes you've ever heard in podcasting.
It's a very fortified podcast.
It's fortified, kind of like a one-a-day vitamin, kind of like question of the day podcast
vitamin. So if you're short on time, but long on curiosity, you don't want to miss it.
You can find us at earwolf.com and iTunes
or your favorite podcasting app.
Pop.
Wolf Pop is part of Midroll Media, executive produced by Adam Sachs, Matt Gourley, and Paul Scheer.